Good morning. It's 18 minutes after 8 o'clock. You're listening to Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitkim. With me to talk about an event tomorrow, right? Tomorrow, Marjorie Hennessy. She's the Conservation Solutions Director at the Sitka Conservation Society. And Andrew Tomes, the Executive Director of SCS, is here as well. Good morning.
Morning. Thank you.
Good morning, Rob.
And the event is, I see the bike shelter is there, so it's just kind of the ribbon cutting thing, right, Marjorie?
Correct. We were able to relocate it last week. Thankfully, the fellows over at Coastal Excavation were gracious enough to help us move it over to the site, and then tomorrow we're going to have the official dedication.
Yeah, I remember when the Alice McChesney bike shelter was brought here to the cable house that sort of came in on a big flatbed, and they tipped it up, and everybody crossed their fingers that it would slide off. Did you have the same sort of feeling with the
pretty
shelter?
Much. It was pretty rainy, and we were crossing our fingers that it would land just right.
Yeah. So what's the what do you have planned for the dedication tomorrow?
Well, we're going to meet at 3 o'clock at the shelter to get the ball rolling and just say a few words, thank a few folks here in town who've helped out with making the project a success. But we're also going to have at 2:45, if people are feeling a little frisky and interested in a bike ride, meeting over at Totem Square, and Assemblymember Phyllis Hackett is going to lead a bike ride down to the shelter, and then we'll get things started at 3.
Oh, okay, so kind of a critical mass from Totem Square downtown to the bike shelter, which is at, which I guess we should mention, is at the playground there at Crescent Harbor, right in front of the Sitka Sound Science Center.
Right, across from SJ. Yeah.
Okay, that'll be at 2:45, and the dedication at 3. And this shelter, Andrew, it's really kind of a skookum thing. I mean, it is, it's a nice little building.
Yeah, it's a timber frame construction using second growth Tonga Sitka spruce. And the wood came from Prince of Wales from a stewardship contract that had restoration components in it. And then it was milled up by millers on Prince of Wales and kiln dried and shipped up here to be used by the high school construction class. And all along the process, the goal was figure out what can we do with second growth timber? How do we use it? What are some of the characteristics of it? What are some of the obstacles that we have to get over? And how do we figure out what we can do with this resource?
So it's kind of a pilot project along the lines of the, I know, I guess we've had a couple of cabins built out of young growth and
yeah,
this structure.
The Stargavin cabin is built out of second growth timber. And this is another in a string of projects that the Sitka Conservation Society has been involved with to try to figure out how do we accelerate this transition into second growth so that we can get away from logging the old growth timber and leave what's left there and move on to using second growth timber and managing those stands that either need ecological restoration because they're in very bad conditions ecologically or are a suitable timber base for long-term management.
How did it go with milling the wood for this structure? Because the Stargavin cabin, is it's logs in the round, and this required processing. How did that all go down?
It actually, from what we've heard from the folks who worked with it on Prince of Wales, after ordering the wood, getting it all set up to the dimensions that we wanted, they were really happy with it. They were really excited about the consistency of the product, what it looked like, how it worked, how it came out, what they could do with it, and the kind of return on how many logs were there versus how many were usable.
All right. And I assume that everybody's not just doing this out of the goodness of their heart. There had to be some money behind it to make it all possible.
Yeah, there's a fund that the National Forest Foundation has in the Tongass in Region 10 called the Community Capacity and Land Stewardship Program. And there's a governing body on that that helps decide programs like this that are going to help catalyze the Tongass transition. Even here locally, Keith Perkins is one of the members of the convening board of that that funding. And we put in proposals and say, this is a project we think that we can do to accelerate the transition. And in the projects we've been submitting, it's how do we use second growth timber to figure out the kinks in the system so that we can make this a viable resource that we can use and figure out what it can be done with it and then catalyze further things to happen with that.
Yeah, it just Keith Perkins was instrumental in the National Forest Foundation in sort of connecting the dots for this particular structure.
Yes.
Speaking of connecting the dots, Marjorie, it sounds like just a lot of threads to pull together for a bike shelter. Is it just me, or is this kind of a huge undertaking.
It is, but it's important to have all of those different stakeholders get involved somehow and have their hands on the project, from the millers down in Prince of Wales all the way up to a volunteer who was just putting a nail in the siding. We just want to make sure that everybody understands the importance of young growth and what it could do for our communities. So exposing even high school students to working with a new product and understanding a new vocation or potential vocation.
Right.
And then even making the connections to raw between buying wood from Prince of Wales and having it shipped to Sitka. You know, that's something that doesn't usually happen. And through this project, we're trying to figure out, you know, what are the connections we can make? What are the costs? What are the limitations? And then what can we do with this next? So the bike shelter is definitely overbuilt. But in doing that, we learned what we can do with it and people learned how to do it. And now, you know, it's our hope somebody's going to look at that and say, I want a house built out of that. I want to do this with that. Or, you know, if you're a contractor or a builder, I can do this with that material and then go on and do that with it. So really a showcase piece to sort out the kinks and then inspire on what we can do next.
I wouldn't say the bike shelter's overbuilt. You and I may be living in there sometime, Andrew. You never know.
Maybe.
And I'm also a guy who built a carport out of 8x8s, so I could take offense easily. But anyway, it is a beautiful little building, an example of timber frame construction, right? I wanted to ask you, Andrew, before we left, this idea of young growth. I mean, you at Sitka Conservation Society, you have kind of been cranking the wheel here on young growth and working with the Forest Service on restoration and this kind of transitional framework. But if you go down south and you drive around the Pacific Northwest, you see lots of logging trucks filled with young growth timber. Are we ever going to, and I think we were counting on young growth to kind of reignite the timber products industry in Southeast Alaska. Where are we on that timeline, in your opinion?
You know, in Southeast Alaska, we're predominantly logging old growth. You know, there's still huge old growth timber sales that are happening that are in very important ecological lands that are very uneconomical to harvest. But the system is set up so that old growth is still being harvested because that's what we did, that's what the industry is set up for, and that's the momentum that the agency and the Forest Service is on. And we've logged too much old growth in the wrong way, in many of the wrong places, and some of the current sales are logging in the most sensitive deer habitat. And I think that for us at the Sitka Conservation Society, we want to see that paradigm moved out of as soon as possible. And if we're going to have, we will have a timber industry in the region. We're in a huge forest, in the largest national forest in the country, but it's kind of all of our job to figure out, what does that timber industry look like? How do we make it appropriately scaled, appropriately sized, and logging the right way in the right places and not make the mistakes of the past? You know, you go up to Rodman Bay and look at that cut on the north slope on the north shore on the south facing slope. That is the most critical deer winter habitat, and that's a cut that's probably 3 miles long and an unbroken chain, so there's no opportunity for deer to move from the alpine to the beach like they normally would in an intact ecosystem. That's an excess, and it's something that, you know, we've got to figure out moving forward how to not repeat those mistakes.
Is it possible to say in 30 seconds or less why the lower 48 has sort of transitioned to young growth and the Tongass hasn't? Is it just a case of things get going sooner in the lower 48 and we just play catch up?
Okay. No, it's actually a case of they logged all of their old growth forests in the lower 48. So they had to move on to young growth because there was no old growth left. And in the Tongass, we're lucky in that we still have intact watersheds and intact ecosystems with viable old growth dynamic ecological systems. And at this point, we need to practice discipline and figure out the value of that for salmon, for deer populations, for overall ecological functionality, and save some of those areas and set them aside and now move on to a sustainable rotation for the timber that we can count on here in the region.
All right. Well, quite a story wrapped up in one building for sure. So again, Marjorie, it's tomorrow?
Yes, 3 o'clock down by the Science Center.
The dedication of the Young Growth Bike Shelter, and there's going to be kind of a critical mass style bike ride from Totem Square
2:45,
led by Assembly Member Phyllis Hackett. My guests have been Marjorie Hennessy, the Conservation Solutions Director, and Andrew Tomes, the Executive Director of the Sitka Conservation Society. Thanks a lot for coming in.
Thanks,
Rob. Thank you.